This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast. Today, season 4, episode 86, I invite event director and founder of Atlas Events and the Sunshine Coast Marathon, Jason Crowther, to the podcast. Jason was fantastic. It's not often I get event directors on the podcast. Usually it's one-on-one conversations with the runners themselves, but it was great to sit down with Jason and chat all things the Sunshine Coast Marathon. And Jason himself, a bit of background about him as a person and athlete. And then we dived into the history of the Sunshine Coast Marathon event itself, which was founded back in 2012. So 13 years running now, and Jason went into detail about some of those milestone moments and events and runners and times that have been put down over the years at the event. He then moves into the 2025 event, which happens, of course, next weekend, and runs through the new marathon course. It's gone further north across the bridge up to Majimba and back. It's a one looper, and that's the main change this year, and potentially that Olympic marathon course too. So Jason and the team are very excited about that course change and the entire event itself. So he talks about those elite runners in the marathon, half, and even the 10K. That course too has changed to a one U-turn, one out and back course as well, which will attract a lot of runners in that 10K event. So hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, it was a unique experience for me to sit down with the event director of the Sunshine Coast Marathon, and I hope you get a lot out of it just like I did. Thanks for listening, guys. Maybe the first event director on here, actually.
Oh, really?
And it's always good to hear from you guys. I actually hung up from the phone conversation yesterday just thinking I've heard of you on some podcasts, and then I just did a Spotify search and Inside Running had come up, and yeah, I think I listened to that episode a while ago. It's probably a year ago now.
And I jumped on with them. About the same time we launched the One Lap, right?
Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, Jason Crowther.
Yeah, thanks, Ollie. Thanks for having me on here.
Very much looking forward to this. And the big reason for having you on here, Jason, is that the Sunshine Coast event is imminent. It's next weekend, 3rd of August. We talk on a Thursday. It's 24th of July. So I've got you to a great time, I think, for listeners to engage in a conversation between you and I that is with someone who's very involved in this event. And before I continue, I'd love you just to preface your role title there and how you've got into the role as well.
Yeah, so event director, for a better word, probably moved into that role in the last 3 years. So my wife and I started the company when Sunny Coast Marathon started, pretty much. Before then, it was a hobby. Her and I did some coaching. We started some small little events here on the coast, and then we started Sunny Coast, just myself, her, my brother, and Michelle, just the four of us, all part-time. And first year we got like 4,900 runners, and yeah, it became a full-time job. Prior to that, I was an engineer, my wife was a teacher, so definitely no event organizing background, but I was, we both, we met in triathlon. We met swimming in the swimming pool together, and training under Toby Coote, who's got a squad here on the sunny coast, more renowned for sort of junior athletes, but also was doing as age group of stuff at the time. And I spent a short period as a professional long course triathlete. I'd like to say probably a slow pro. I did it for the lifestyle more than the money, but enjoyed it. Spent a season racing over in France, doing short course, sprint distance, had a ball. And yeah, that's where the journey began. And then from Sunny Coast, we bought Brizzy, which was run by InTraining at the time. We've grown that. We started Cairns. And most recently, we've started Hobart, and we've got other managed events as well. But they're the largest four in our portfolio, with Brizzy and Sunny Coast being our largest two events. Brizzy this year we got around 14,000, and that's growing really rapidly. And Sunny Coast now we're looking at about 15,000 this year. Which,
Wow.
tell me, 12 years ago we ran a 15,000 person event, I would have laughed at you. Yeah, but we've got a good team, great team, small team, but they hustle and everyone involved loves it. So now I've got an RD. So predominantly I was ops, and we had marketing and admin team. But now, because the events are bigger, I'm pretty much taking on an ED role. So I umbrella the event with an RD and partnerships and ops team and admin team, rego team. So hopefully, if I'm busy on the day, means the event's not going well. If I'm not busy, then the team's doing a good job. So hopefully, if you're at the event, then you can have it come and have a chat to me.
And in terms of you, Jason, what's your training look like at the moment? Like, are you running that much or swimming, riding, like in the last few weeks or year or so? What's your training look like yourself?
So recently, very minimal. I did Sydney Marathon back last year. Awesome event. But I got stressy off the back end of it, unfortunately. So now I'm just, I only run now. I don't have the time to ride, do triathlons. It's a great sport, but it's very time consuming. Running, you can run 4 times a week and get away with, 2 to 3 hours if you're just a social runner, right? Triathlon's different to that. So running's my thing now. Take a pair of running shoes wherever I go. But yeah, I'm minimal mileage at the moment. I'm doing very minimal, just trying to manage back after this stressy.
And what else bides time for you away from the fitness or training or event directing and obviously your other job?
Surfing's my hobby. That's the thing that I do to running and surfing are the two things that I do to chill out. I've got, well, we, I, we've got 2 young daughters, 11 and 13. School sports taking up a fair bit of that hobby time at the moment. But both of them are keen runners, and they're keen surfers. So if we're not running or surfing or working, then we're holidaying doing those things. So yeah, pretty lucky. Wife's super fit, loves the sport, loves all those hobbies as well. So yeah, if we're traveling doing sports things. We love skiing, although we don't get to go often enough. But
Yes.
yeah, anything sport related, travel, that's us.
Yeah, well, Jason, I'd love to dive back to the history in more detail. You alluded to a few facts there about the participation rates and founding times of this event, but what year was that, and what sort of memories and milestones come to mind when you look back at this event that really sort of started to progress it in the right direction and a good direction?
Yeah, so 2012, 4,900. Bit of a backstory, which is probably important I tell. So I've got some good mates on the coast, McDonald's licensees, one ex-McDonald's licensee and one currently in the business. And we went over to Vegas and with a group of us, group of 10 lads, and did the Vegas Marathon. Don't think they do it anymore, but used to finish on the strip post dark, like post. When the sun went down, it was phenomenal. So he'd finish on the strip with the lights. And one of the guys came up with a brilliant idea, McDonald's licensee, let's start an event back on the coast that raises money for Ronald McDonald House charities. So Sunny Coast started, and it still is. We're engaged, we're a paid event organizer, but it's a not-for-profit event. So it's owned by a committee, a chair, and with the idea of the event giving back money to Ronald McDonald House, and then that's expanded into, you know, what all events now, massive fundraising behemoths with, you know, and over 12 years we've raised 2.4 million in that event. And it's sort of set the mantra with what we do at Atlas Events as well. Every event we have a major beneficiary, and then also we pride ourselves on giving back to the community. And that's been a bit of a godsend because we never thought that our events would get to the scale of what they are now. And when you're running a 15,000 person event, like you're causing some disruption. I'll put it politely, disruption to the local community. We close significant infrastructure, and to be able to say we've given this back much to charity, not only the economic benefit as well, though, like this event now probably gives 12 million back to the economic to in regards to tourism, etc.
Yeah,
So
well.
yeah, so big economically, but your local resident doesn't really care too much about that. It's more about what's going back to the community and charities, etc. So yeah, and it's always been, Sunny Coast has always been the idea to have a fast course. That was always our mission. People want to do events so they can run a fast time. So we introduced 7 years ago, we pitched for the Australian Half Marathon Champs because we had a multi-loop marathon. So our premier event back then was the half. And we have a good half marathon course. I reckon outstanding half marathon course. It does have a hill in it, Alex Hill, but run some pretty quick times. So Brett Robinson's ran like 62 low.
Yeah,
Lisa
crazy.
Waitman ran 68 high, all comers
Oh, that
record at
was
the
Sunshine
time.
Coast, 68 high.
Yeah, Lisa Waitman, she broke the all comers record
Yeah.
there 1 year. We had 25 grand on the nose for anyone that could break it, male or female, and she got it. So pretty solid payday for her that day. And she's been a great supporter of the event. She's not racing this year, unfortunately, but she's prepping for Sydney. So I'm keen to see, massive supporter of Lisa, and keen to see how
Oh,
well
yeah.
she does it at Sydney. Yeah. So then that really kicked off the event, like from a prestige point of view. We want to always try and run a good event. 10% better every year is sort of our mantra. And yeah, and then I suppose it's a global running phenomenon at the moment. If you run a good event, you're going to see growth, and we've seen that. So it's just controlled growth now, Ollie. We could have taken a lot more in the half. We could have taken a lot more in Brizzy in the half, but we're conscious that we don't want to overstack the course, and we want to make sure we do it right. So 15,000 is our target this year, and then yeah, just that control growth year on year going forward. And then with the idea that in the lead up to 2032, we have a really good marathon course.
Yeah, obviously it is a quick course, and you mentioned that hill there, but it's not much of a dent to runners if you're fit enough, I guess. But what's bringing the runners back, do you think, Jason, to the Sunny Coast, along with it being fast? Like, one thing I can think of is that you probably see more of the water, like the ocean, as even in the Gold Coast half. I was there a few weeks ago, and obviously a fantastic event down there, dead flat. But you don't actually, in that event, the half marathon, you really don't see much water until about the 17, 18K mark. At the Sunny Coast, other than that, I think what things become sort of unique to that event that draw people back to go to it?
Well, touch wood, we've had 12 years of perfect weather. We haven't had a rainy day. 1 year post-COVID, we had a hot day, but normally it's, you
Yeah,
know,
that's right. Yeah.
12 to 22. Really good conditions for the half. And like you said, you start just at sunrise, you come over Alex Hill, and you've pretty much got a 180 panoramic view of the Sunshine Coast coastline, all the way from Lawlar Spit to up to Coolum on a clear morning. And that to me is, I don't know, people love that destination type event. So you've got a fast event, but you've also got a destination event. Sunny Coast, our population's grown immensely because it's arguably, Every time I holiday, I come back to the sunny coast and go, why do I holiday when you've got Mooloolah and Noosa in your backyard? We're pretty lucky that it is an amazing place. And then also, the feedback that we get is that the community is supportive. And that's a big thing. When I travel to big events, and you would have done it as well, like the states do it so well. You go to an event, every resident's behind it, all businesses are behind it. Sunny Coast community backs the event, and it goes back to that point because it is a charity and community event that the community really support it. So when you come to an event, you feel like a local, you've got a great destination, a fast course. I think that's why people, that's the feedback I'm getting. That's why people love coming back to the Sunny Coast.
Yeah, and those numbers, has progression been very much linear, or has there been sort of standout years where it kind of spiked if you were to graph the numbers over the last sort of 13 years?
Yeah, the last 3 years, like everyone else, it's gone exponential. It could have gone even steeper, but just operationally, you just can't manage that sort of growth. There's always something that goes wrong if you try and go too big, whether it's bag drop, whether it's recovery, whether it's the finish line congestion, congestion on course at pinch points. My rule now is 20%. If you go bigger than 20%, then something's going to come unstuck. So, yeah, last 3 years is exponential growth for us in the half, because our half, to me, it's the event that everyone can do, but also they're our good events. Brizzy, we've got a one lap half. Sunny Coast, we've got a great one lap half. But people are loving those half marathons.
Yeah, and as an event director, what actually dictates that number that can go into an event? Obviously, you're running a half at Gold Coast or Sunny Coast, it's the same distance, but does the width of road, for example, come into play? What factors actually lead to that number?
Yeah, definitely course congestion is a big thing. Precinct size, like we're restricted at Sunny Coast with our precinct, and then public transport and accommodation. So, Brizzy, Goldie, massive amounts of accommodation. Sunny Coast growing, but not at that level yet, right? So we get a lot of drive market from Brisbane. And that's the reason, because accommodation is scarce over event weekend. I know Bruce Highway, if you travel here, it's pretty hectic at the best of times. But race morning, yeah, it's bumper to bumper on the Bruce trying to get into our event. So we're trying to limit that with park and ride and different options. But they're the things. We don't want people getting to our start line and missing the start because they're late. They couldn't drop off their bags, et cetera. We've got strict road reopening times. We're closing down the motorway this year. So, yeah, we're not allowed to just close it by an extra 15 minutes. It just doesn't work. So, yeah, there's more than just one element that we look at when we go, we're at capacity. We're working with a guy called Sean Peckover. He's brilliant. He works on congestion on course and things, and what we're doing is working on start corralling and wave starts, just to try and give that, especially the top end runner, a better experience on course. So you don't get 15K in, you don't see a pinch point, and you're running 330s, let's just say, for example, and then you're slowed to 345s because there's congestion. They're the guys and girls that are the loudest, the ones that are going for the faster times, and I want to make sure that we're not, they come in here, they only do a certain amount of events a year. You want to be running the fastest possible time you can, because it is a lot of commitment, and it's a lot of recovery off the back end of a marathon, as you know.
Oh yeah. And with this like rise in participation in running, Jason, in the last few years, what challenges have you seen out there in terms of the newer runners to actually be aware of how to sort of operate themselves as a runner on a start line and through the race? For example, wearing headphones, or I've seen runners out there not even wearing bibs, even finishing races, taking medals and things. Like it's just crazy. And then obviously the congestion, we want runners to be running in straight lines, sticking to the left and that kind of thing. Like, have you had a role in educating through online or in ways to make sure that these new runners, which is fantastic that they're running, but some are heading straight into a marathon who've hardly ever been out in an actual fun run?
Yeah, so the biggest shift in demographic was seen. So it used to be sort of 35 to 45 bracket was our biggest, age demographic because we got a bit more disposable money. Post-COVID, and this is where the growth's coming from, it's 20 to 30. That's now overtaken as our largest demographic, and it's like you said, it's positive. It's really positive that people off the back of COVID. The two things I've seen that have just gone ballistic is surfing and running. Funnily enough, it's the two things I'm involved in.
Yeah.
But it's two things you could do, right? Everyone could go for a 5K jog during COVID. And especially on the coast here, you come to the coast at 9, 10 o'clock at night, it's dead, but you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and the footpaths are full. I'm seeing the same thing at Goldie. It's great. It's great for health, it's great for fitness. There's also that shift with people that go into the gym and are now running with the HYROX phenomenon. I
Yeah,
think it's a great
completely flipped.
event. Yeah. And I think it's great for the sport and it's great for the youth. The biggest thing I've found, and this is the biggest piece we're trying to educate at the moment, the congestion, move left, headphones, they're things we can manage because the guys and girls up the front, they're not getting caught up in that, right? And the people that are wanting to do a serious time, they get out of that. They get out of that, right? They make sure they're in the right position. The thing that's we're trying hard to work on is litter. I've
Yes.
seen a massive, and it was Brisbane last year that really shook me because I see it as an event as it's a very sustainable event, right? You've got people healthy, you're taking cars off roads, everything's positive. Then you get to the end of the day and there's just gel wrappers everywhere. That's the biggest education piece I want the new runners to understand. You've got a litter zone for a reason. Don't throw your litter in someone's garden when you're running past their house because that's convenient. That's the thing that's going to ruin these events. I saw it at I see it at our events, and I'm seeing it at all the large scale events. So that's the biggest education piece I'm trying to push. We're now trying to mitigate that. We've got what we call litter angels on course. So we're going to have six groups literally sweeping, physically sweeping the back end of the course, just to clear anything. So, Sunny Coast, Cairns, Hobart, Brisbane, they're all beautiful areas. We don't want more rubbish going in our waterways. We don't want rubbish in our beaches. So that's the biggest education piece I think out there. If the guys and girls listening to you, they're seasoned runners. You see a newbie doing it. Don't need to have a go at them, but just we've got litter zones for a reason, right? That's the one thing I've seen, and that's a small negative. Everything else is super positive off the back end of it. And we've got now things in place to mitigate it. To make sure that if there is, we clean it up, we try and educate. Are we going to go down the Ironman route of DQing people? It's impossible. Like you
Yeah, they're
can't.
pretty strict, aren't they? They're
Well,
pretty
we just
strict.
can't. What are you going to pull everyone off course?
Well, let's move on to the event this year, Jason, because the massive change, of course, is that marathon course. And a particular reason why I'm very excited is, and you won't know this, I've got accommodation up at Twin Waters in the one of the resorts there, actually.
Nice.
So the marathon course doesn't come past my front doorstep, so to speak, because I'm in such a large complex, but it will come past that Twin Waters suburb, so to speak. And I've run on that road many a time. It's fantastic, wide, flat road, just the perfect road that you'd be on for a marathon. I'd just love to talk about how that marathon course came about. Who was involved in that decision? And I think you've done a great job at that course, but what sort of things come to mind in terms of making that happen?
Yeah, so we really had two options, and it's good that you know the coast because you'll understand it. We had two options. We were either going further west and over Blai Blai, and then David Low Way past the cable ski world and the golf course there into Twin Waters. We couldn't go south. You couldn't go into Nicollin Way. There's just too much residents and businesses. You'd be shutting down.
Very different, yeah.
Yeah, we sort of had a precedent with Iron Man 70.3 and Mullabar Tri, where they shut the motorway, similar to what we're doing, until 11:30. So that we'd already had that precedent. Running through Blyby, you've got a pretty significant hill. So you would have copped that at about, oh, what am I going to say, about 18K. And then, so 18K, and then you would have come back at it at about 32. So yeah, you just don't want to be hitting a hill at 32, right? That's gonna sting. And it's pretty significant. Not super steep, but enough to drain you. The thing with the motorway, which I hope we alleviate this issue, is, there's no spectators. Is it a positive? Is it a negative?
Yeah.
But you're gonna have sections of, 3K either way without spectators. We've got a couple of DJs in the back of utes on the motorway,
Oh, so good.
just to create hype zones, because there's two aid stations. There's gonna be two DJs on the motorway. Super fast, flat, apart from the rise over the motorway, which you've got to go over the river. But it's highway quality road, super wide.
Oh, it's
Once
great.
in a lifetime. No, you don't. People are lucky to ride on it, let alone run on it. And if we put the entertainment on there, it won't be a boring part of the event. That's what we're hoping for. And then, like you said, that section from David Low Way, Twin Waters, out to Majimba, phenomenal. Great section of road, super wide, fast, flat. So we've added 21K, of course, and literally going over the bridge is the only hill. So it's going to be a quick course. If we get good weather, it's going to be a quick course. I'm excited with the runners that are coming. We'll get into that later, no doubt. But yeah, I'm excited to see what the boys can do. It's all and the girls can do. It's Australian runners, and that's, Sydney's around the corner. Goldie's an international event at the moment. I want to support Aussie runners, and then leading up to 2032, it'll become an international event from an elite point of view. But at the moment, I want to see what our Aussie guys and girls can do on this course.
Oh, definitely. Speaking of the course, Jason, I've got it open now on my screen, and I just see that the very north part of that course turns. And again, I do know the area, that end of the Esplanade before you get to David Low Way. Is that something you were trying to avoid getting onto that road? One, for hills, but two, it becomes obviously more prone to traffic. And looks like what you've done there is you're heading sort of south there between 13, 14, 15K on the motorway, and then it looks like you're heading back. What is that returning, heading out west and then coming back? There's sort of two turnarounds there around the bridge.
Yeah, so once you so you're heading out at 14K and we jump onto the motorway, then you head south for about 500 meters, then do a U-turn, then head north until you get to the Twin Waters roundabout. You take the off ramp there and then David Low Way out to Majimba. Do a U-ey, like you said, at pretty much just past Majimba Surf Club there at the skate park. Come back the same way onto the motorway, and then once you come over the bridge, it's a hard left off at on the off ramp. Hit Bradman Avenue, and then when you get to Bradman Avenue, you head west and join the existing 21 kilometer course. Turn around at Fisherman's Road, and then once you get your U-turn at Fisherman's Road, it's 7 kilometers, approximately 7.1K from there back to. You just follow the river, pretty much follow the water in the entire way, which is the back end 7K of the half marathon course. This year, the half starts at 7:15, so we've timed it so the lead marathoners should reach, well, will, if they're running around the 2:15 pace, will reach the where they meet the 21Ks on course 5 minutes ahead of a 62 and a half minute runner. So our marathons will should win the event, which is what we're hoping for. But then when the age group marathoners and half marathons meet, they should, well, they will, they'll be running a similar pace. So it won't be one running past the other. They'll join and they'll be running similar paces at that 12K mark for the half, and What's that? 12K, and then around the 30, 32K mark for the marathon. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. Looking at the map. Yeah, that makes
Yep.
sense. Speaking of the marathon and those elite fields, who are we expecting there in both the men's and women's?
Yeah. So I'm just gonna pull
And the
up.
half, I guess.
Yeah, I'll pull up the list here because
Yeah.
I'm gonna get names wrong. Sorry. So the biggest, our biggest Aussie hope, and he's hoping for a good time, and we've got Ryan Gregson. So 2:13 PB, ran that in Melbourne last year, either second or third behind Jack. I think it might have been second. We've got Brett Robinson coming down to pace as well, or coming up to pace, sorry. So he's going to be pacing Ryan to run a good time. We've also got a couple of Japanese boys. So Seiki Makino, who is our course record holder, he's run a 2:16 on course before, but he did that solo. The best thing about that, the first half, they used to run with a half marathoner. So the first half, he was paced, you could say, but then did the back end and a multi-loop back end by himself. But he does multiple marathons, and he's good form to run, hopefully with Ryan. We've got another Japanese guy, Karauchi Yoshiki, and he's around a 2:15 runner as well. And then there's a guy, he's living in Australia at the moment, he's an Ethiopian, Gishi Abdi Wako, his name is, and he's around a 64 half runner. I haven't seen him do a marathon recently, but he thinks he's informed to go that pace as well. Female wise, we've got four girls that are run around, should run around the 2:35 to 2:40 mark. It's going to be a good race if they all are in form. So Millie Clark's probably the one that is in. Well, she's got the best PB. Cassie Fien, she's run a 2:33. And then Jane Fardell, she's around a 2:40 runner as well. And the other names, I've missed the other name, unfortunately. But there, yeah, there's four girls there that are in 2:35 to 2:40 form. So they're I'm looking forward to seeing that race pan out. We've got live streaming for the marathon and half marathon this year, which you usually only have the live streaming for the half because with a multi-loop course, we couldn't get bikes back around, but we're going to live stream the marathon and the half marathon. So
On YouTube
anyone, yeah, just jump on our website, and it's on YouTube, Facebook, but it'll be there'll be a link on our website, just straight to YouTube. You spoke about, so let's move to the half. You spoke
Yeah, half,
about
even 10K, yeah, but half first, yeah.
you spoke about Andy earlier. Andy's won our event before, and he's just gone super quick at Goldie, as you'd know. He's running, and Liam Adams is also running the half as well.
He's back.
He
He's
that
been pretty
so those
quiet.
two, sorry.
He's been pretty quiet, Liam. He's back.
Yeah, well, I think from what I hear, he might be doing Sydney. So
Sounds
anyway, he's
about
coming to
right.
run, so that means he's in good form. He only runs when he's in good form. So those two boys are going to be definitely the two boys at the front end. And then from a female point of view, it's Tara Palm is going to be I think the clear runner. We had, like I said, we had Lisa down as a starter, but she's unfortunately pulled out because she's got some family stuff, but she will be racing Sydney. It's not an injury thing. So Tara, I'd say she's a 60, sorry, a
Just
70, 70,
70 on the dot,
70, 70 and a
something.
bit of change. So she, I'd
Yeah.
say, yeah. And the next girl after her is around a 6, a 76. So she'll be mixing it with the boys. And then 10K. I'm just gonna have to bring up another list here. Sorry, mate. 10K, the The men's field is we've got a few boys that are sub 30, but sorry, mate, I don't have that list on me at the moment. But keep talking and I'll find that. But yeah, 10K starts at 9, so little bit of congestion with a 10, but still run some quick time. Shelley's got the record.
Yeah, there's no hill on that, right? The 10K still doesn't go over.
Well, I'm saying that, yeah, the first year that it's a single U-turn. We used to run south and then do a U-turn with about 300 meters in. But this year the 10K is we run north. So yeah, one single U-turn. So it should be, if it's favorable conditions, it should be a super quick course. Yeah, here it is here. I'll bring it up now. Sorry, mate. No. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, so and then yeah, because we've moved just from a finish line congestion point of view, we've moved the start line for the 10, 5, and 2. So all yeah, if you want to run a fast five as well, it's only a single U-turn on the 5K as well, which I didn't know, but 8 seconds, I reckon, every U-turn on course. So, which is when you're running a fast time, it's pretty significant.
Hang on, this is for an elite runner on average, roughly about 8 seconds
About 8 seconds,
for a sort of a pin turn, U turn. Yeah, it makes sense because you kind
which
of
blew my
preempt it,
mind.
don't you too? You don't just include the last few meters. You sort of, it's almost like a 10, 20 meter slowing and speeding up process.
It blew my mind. So, I've just got a bit more info here on the female half. So
Yeah, go for it.
Claire Ashworth, 66, and Tamara Carvalth is a 60, 76, sorry. And then Rebecca Lowe, 77, Emily King, 78, Olivia Taylor, 79. The boys is pretty deep in the half marathon as well. So I went through Liam and Andy. Then you've got Nathan Stowart, 66, Aidan Hobbs, 66, Forrest Robinson, 68, Nicholas Lee, 69, Peter Bracken, 70, Marcus Hughes, 70. So yeah, some, like I said, I think it's going to be Liam and Andy up front, but still some a race for the podium. And marathon this year we're paying to fifth, so all those top four girls are going to should walk away with some money. Yeah, the last girl there was Sarah Short. Sarah Short, she's gone 2:40:59 in Ballarat this year, so she's in good form. She's running 2:40 in an event at the start of this year. So yeah, those four girls, I'm really, that's probably one of the, I think that'll be the closest race, the female, if they're all in form, the female marathon.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, speaking of the pay, what is the pay in and what dictates that for you for the Sunny Coast?
Well, trying to get more marathoners this year. So it used to we used to heavily focus on the half marathon as our sort of prize pool because it was the Australian half champs and trying to we used to pay five deep for the half, but now we've sort of moved to paying so four deep for the marathon now, which is 4:21:500 male female half, where 2:12:50 750 and then the 10 600 400 200. So just yeah, we've bumped up the marathon prize pool this year to to try and entice a couple more of the faster Aussies to come and try and hit a good time to take home some dollars. Also try and we've got a good, well, I won't say good, but we've got an assistance program. If you've run under a certain time, we give them some elite assistance just to help with travel because I know not all top runners are making Bitcoin. Not many are. So
No,
yeah,
that's right.
they do it for the love of it. Yeah, so if they're not out of pocket by the time they get to the start line, it often helps.
Yeah, and just speaking financially too, for those paying, it's what, between sort of $100 to $200 based on the event roughly, isn't it? Sort of 10K to the marathon. I'm just trying to put together, I often get mates and runners start to think about where does that money actually go towards? And obviously a big one is road closures in these events, and you'll be part of employees who have to be paid and rewarded for their efforts. But where does that money go?
Yeah, so the biggest cost now is road closures. So, Sunday rates with road closing, we don't get charged to close the roads as such, but police, traffic control, course marshals, fencing, marquees, they're the biggest expenses, right? Your time in and merchandise and all that, you can factor that into participation numbers, right? The more participants you get, the more the more shirts you get. So that doesn't really affect bottom line too much, but doesn't matter if you have 1,000 people or 10,000 people, your road closure bill is going to be exactly the same. And so that's where the significant cost is, just the Sunday labor hire for those costs. So just to give you one figure, our traffic bill alone at Sunny Coast, so that's just the traffic management company's 165 grand this year. That's just the traffic management company. When I first started doing events, I think Sunny Coast, our first year bill for traffic management was about 9. It's so when people see, we're charging a couple of $100 an entry, predominantly that's where the money's going, is to the road closure, police, traffic, and they need them, right? We couldn't have an event without them. So am I complaining? No, but that's for people, that's where the majority of the costs come into it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Hey, moving into the latter stages of this conversation, and just moving forward for this Sunshine Coast event specifically, what sort of goals do you have in mind, or the team, particularly around that marathon, must be in your mind? But even, I just like you think about some of these events. Noosa is another one who have the suite of events on that one day. Like, is a 2 day event ever in mind for you, Jason, or a focus towards one event? We're popping up these like the 10K, the pre-event down south, for example, just a one-off 10K as like a ploy to get people to go to one single event. Is that ever a thing that you've thought of, or going to 2 days, or anything else in terms of a goal or goals for the next sort of handful of years?
From an event point of view, overall, before talking sort of 1 or 2 day logistics around that sort of stuff, the goal is, we've got an opportunity with 2032. Hasn't been officially announced yet, but there's a chance that Sunny Coast could have the Olympic marathon. So our goal is, and whether we get on or not, it's not going to change the way what we're going to do. So I want, this is going to be a fast course, and we'll see this year. We'll see what the times are running one in this year. But I want the opportunity to grow now that we've got a one lap marathon, our marathon participants. This course has got, it's wide. As you know, the roads are wide. We've got, from an infrastructure point of view, we can take significant amount of runners in this full marathon. I want to turn it into, a gold elite label event over the next 5 years, potentially host a world championships, road running champs, which doesn't include the marathon. It's a half, five and miler, but bring the event to a level where we can host significant international runners and run significant fast times on the event. What does that look like from a 1 or 2 day event? That comes down to budget constraints, right? You start doing a 2 day event, you're looking at goal, you're doing it with a, sorry, that's my dog going off, with a 30,000 participant field, that's the numbers you got to get to be able to justify closing roads for 2 consecutive days.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, the goal the goal now is to grow our marathon and turn it into a world-class event. That's the goal over the next sort of 3 or 5 years is the plan.
Yeah, so what other barriers are involved in that, Jason? Like you spoke about the Sydney Marathon and even Gold Coast to a degree, around about the same time of year. To a lesser degree, you've got a smaller event down here in Brisbane, Jetty to Jetty. That's just happened over the weekend. Like, are you happy with the date that it sits on at the moment through the year?
So yeah, I'm not going to move the date. When we bought Brizzy, Brizzy used to be all early August, and I picked up Brizzy and moved it to June to move it outside of the clash in an event calendar. So yeah, Sunny Coast is always going to stay early August. I think there's enough capacity now, and you see it overseas as the this global running phenomena keeps continuing. There's enough capacity to have, if you run a good event, to have multiple events. Sydney, Goldie, Melbourne sold out. We're still an hour and a half. So with a good marathon course, our marathon numbers will grow over the next 3 to 5 years.
Oh, 100%. Hey, Jason, just got a couple of listener questions here before we wrap up the conversation, if that's all right.
Yeah, no worries.
Great. One's a statement, but it's kind of a question at the same time, and you'll make sense of it in a moment. But firstly, I've got a guy here. I don't know who this is. C Groen 6 is his name on Instagram. He said here, and this might go in line with what I mentioned. I don't know what this event actually stands for. He said, "What are your thoughts on the innovative running events like the Bandit Grand Prix? Would they work in Australia and Queensland? Have you heard of that?"
No, give me an
No
idea
idea.
what that is. Yeah,
No
okay.
idea. Yeah, I was thinking
Bandit
of
Grand
potentially
Prix.
that one down south. I spoke about a 10K, but there must be something more to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about it. Sorry, Bandit Grand Prix.
I'll do
Sounds
some
like something
research.
on a racetrack or something. Might be an ultra type thing with a multi lap. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't got into, I haven't really delved into the ultra stuff. I've left that to the ultra boys. I'm probably just going to stay with 42K down.
Yeah,
I do
100%.
think there's room for some standalone 10K and half marathon events, though. I do think that there is room for that.
Yeah, because you specialize in one event, you may attract that large crowd and not dilute the fields, I guess, is
Yep.
the thinking there, isn't it? The other one is from Jess Willis. You might know of Jess. She's an elite female
Yep, I
Brisbane
know
runner.
Jess. Yep.
She's talking about the starting time of the half. You spoke about that. She's asking for a change of the start time back to the same time as the marathon. Was that the case in the past?
Yeah, so we used to start the half and the full together. And you get mixed emotions on that. You get some
Yeah.
people positive, some people not. The people doing the marathon want to start their event by themselves. The ones doing the half don't really mind. The reason we've moved it is to grow more numbers. So if we had the two together this year, it'd be 10,000 together, and we just couldn't manage it with our start line. Also, what happens when the marathoners rejoin the half marathoners? The fast marathoners are then rejoining the back end of slower marathoners, and it your lead marathoners are then going to have to run through people that are running 5 minute K pace, which
Yeah.
I can't imagine Ryan Gregson running a 2:15 happy that he's getting, you know. So it just and we used to do that, and it worked because we had the multi-loop marathon. Because we don't have that now, logistically, we can't physically make it happen. Yeah, unfortunately, Jess.
It makes sense. It's logistically obviously a challenge on that same morning to fit these all in and must be a bit of a thought process to make that all happen. But anyway, thanks for your time today, Jason. I hope the listeners have sort of, if they're not in the event, just learned more about it, or even just these fun runs in general, particularly that fantastic new population of runners out there who are learning the ways of the marathon or fun runs. And for those in the event that they've drawn a bit of excitement or engagement in the event leading up to it next weekend. So from me and the listeners, I guess too, all the best to you and the team at Sunny Coast, and yeah, I might see you out there. I'm in the half at the moment, Jason, but with an injury, so I'm either going to be canning that or jogging along at a much slower pace than I'm used to.
Yeah, thanks, Ollie. Appreciate the time and shout out to the listeners. Thanks for supporting the event and mate, just jog it. The half to me, the half's fun. Jog it, enjoy the atmosphere. Like I said, we've got DJs on course this year on the motorboat. We've got heaps more entertainment on course this year. We're really trying to push that part of it. So yeah, come and jog it, walk the aid stations, get your money's worth.
Either way, I'll be up there for the weekend. So yeah, look forward
Legend.
to witnessing the event, catching up with some running friends, and I might see you out there, Jason.
Yeah, come and say hi.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Thanks for your
Thanks,
time.
Ollie. Cheers.
Did you know the local legends in running podcast do online running coaching? If you're interested, give me a DM on the page. I'm happy to talk further. Thanks to the listeners for tuning in thus far and to this episode. If you've enjoyed it to this date, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you to all.